as there's an opening tonight that runs for four nights this week and four performances this week, four performances next week, and that's at Stage Left Theater, and it is the play Closing It Up by Molly Allen, 7:30 tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then the Sunday matinee at 2 each of these weeks. And so we're going to really get inside it, not only the playwright, but the actors. Molly Allen, thank you. Welcome back.
Oh, Vern, thank you.
And you know, we have this, you have this title over there. You're the resident playwright. Does that mean you have to sleep there?
Doesn't it sound important? Yeah. It seems like they should have a cot for me at least,
in case,
you know, things go south in the rest of my world, at least I have a place to stay.
There you go.
It's warm.
Yeah. But it does mean that you had something there last year, and now you have this play this year. It probably feels kind of nice to know that you have... not only a place to do it, but maybe even the push that, okay, you're the resident playwright, you better come up with something this year, right?
Yeah, it's cool. And the way it happened was because a whole bunch of us got together as playwrights and we were talking. It was after the Playwright Festival at Civic and we were all having this meeting. And I said to one of the playwrights in residence at another theater, I said, well, what does that mean? What do you get for that? Well, and nothing. They weren't guaranteed anything. I said, so what? Your stuff just stays here and nobody's giving you a spot? Well, Tia Woolley, who was running Stage Left afterwards, she said, I'll give you a spot. She said, I'll do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. I said, well, then I'll take that deal. It's not like anybody's making any money. It's just, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. So, yeah, I'm offered a spot in every season if I have something. And if I don't, that's fine, too. And Wes Dietrich is now at the helm there, so he'll continue that. And he was at the show last night watching The Final Dress, and he liked it. So I could continue that. But then I'll be part of the, it's called Playwrights Playground. That's the next weekend after we close. And that, I'll have a play in that. So it's nice. Any of the festivals, I have the opportunity to get one of my plays in without the judging process.
Nice,
which is cool.
And so the love of writing a play. Talk about the when you're just right inside it. You get up in the middle of the night and suddenly have thought of a great new line or how to get out of a problem or something.
You know, it seems like all the ideas come when I'm in the shower, and that's unfortunate because I'm wet and I can't get to my laptop. And then I think I'm like drying off, going what. Oh, what is it? You know, or I'll be in the middle of doing my radio show and I'll come up with a great idea and then it takes me a while to get to it. But I do weird writing things. I'll write. I love to be on airplanes and write. I love that. I love when somebody's watching TV next to me and I can just focus on my writing. Mm-hmm. But I sort of live with the characters and I like when I can get into their language and think of a funny line that's something they should say or a poignant line that I feel like is them. I know, and when the story, because I don't really know how a story's going to end when I start it. So
that's good. Then it and you grow up together.
Yeah, right. So, sort of the characters. If I get the characters strong enough, then it can sort of write itself. Mm-hmm. It seems like.
Well, then let's rotate around to that concept of characters because your play that was out in the valley a couple of years ago, on shaky ground. Yeah, on shaky ground, which you had written quite specifically for specific people. Do you still tend to do that?
In this play, did
you kind of know who these other two people that are sitting in the room were going to be?
Well, I knew it would be Mary.
Mary Starkey, that
Mary
is to
Starkey,
say.
Who is here, and you'll hear from her in a second. I knew for sure it was going to be us. And originally, I wrote the four main characters for two other people. Andrew ended up coming and taking the place of one of them who couldn't do it. Both of them couldn't do it. So it ended up being different people. But then I wrote a part for my mom, and I wrote a part for my aunt, and then they couldn't do it. And I actually wrote a part for my Uncle Jimmy, and then he couldn't do it. So I was glad, though, because besides Mary and myself, and I knew I wanted her to play my sister, and I knew that, I was glad that they could translate to other actors because I worry about that because I do write so specifically for my friends sometimes that I wonder, will it play? If somebody else is playing the part, and it is. Yeah. And like, you know, you'll meet Andrew Bibiano here, and he's doing a great job too. So you're
the playwright, so the most basic of questions, which I don't know the answer to, that's why I ask it.
Yeah.
Are you also in the play?
I am.
Okay,
I am
so you wrote a part for yourself too.
I did. Well, that's what Mary and I wanted us to play sisters. So I play Sarah. She's the middle child, sort of the good one, the one that stayed home to kind of look after the parents, and she got married and she had two kids, and she did all the stuff she was supposed to, and the siblings. were very bad siblings. They went away.
Including you?
No. I'm the good sibling.
You're the good child.
I know.
About.
It's against Kat. I know you're saying, how are you doing
against
that? How are you
going
to pull that
off?
Right. Yeah, I'm the middle child, and I'm truly a middle child. I stay home. I had kids. I kind of did everything right. So I didn't see the dark side of my parents because I was just towing the line. So the other two siblings got to see kind of their a little bit cruel, very cold, very not getting in there, kind of, you know, very, I don't know, plastic covered couches kind of people.
Okay. Well, and so I gather Mary and Andrew are the siblings.
They are.
Okay. Well, before we hear just a little bit in your character's voice, if we think Molly is running against type, are you running against type, or are you dredging up secret parts of your back? First, that's Mary Starkey.
Hi there. No, you would have to ask Molly that question because she wrote the character, and I don't know how much of me she put in it. I know that, you know, we played sisters at the Civic Theater a couple of years ago in Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, and had such a great time doing it. And in a lot of ways, I consider Molly my baby sister, you know, mm-hmm. that I never had a baby sister for whom I could be a bad example. So Molly's that person for me. And we just had a wonderful time acting together. We've been friends for a long time, but we really hadn't done any of a full-length play together. Yeah. So we had such a good time in that. And then she told me she was writing another play and that we would be mm-hmm. sisters again. So I don't know how much of me she wrote into the character. She does sometimes have a, you know, mm-hmm. curse like a sailor, which I know that I'm able to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, no, there's really none of Andrea in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's your ability to play the theatrics and to play that had me write it. Mm. And then I think I did write it because it was against type. And I actually wrote mine because it's against type. I mean, in my family, I guess you could say I was the one who followed rules compared to my brother and all of that. But I am in no way a saint, and I am in no way stayed in one marriage my whole life, and in no way. So, but there are pieces of it that are me. But playing the plain Jane, the quiet one. That's not me.
And you know, I forget sometimes when we're in rehearsal and when we're doing this, I forget that Molly's the playwright. I really do. I think it's such a well-written play, and I know that she's a wonderful playwright, but just in the moment doing it with her as an actress, I forget, gosh, she wrote it too. You know, it's a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah. And then Andrew Bibiano, what kind of character are you getting to inhabit relative to who you are?
So Molly wrote this character for me. She just doesn't know that.
And actually, now that I see you in it, I feel like I did.
Yeah. Wrote for a guy named Andrew. He's got the last name wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, same profession as I have. Both lawyers, and I don't know, just personality-wise, I read the script, and it was just a unique feeling like this is a perfect part for me. And I was expecting a very good script because Molly's got talent everywhere. But I didn't expect the play to be one of the best I've read and better than most of the plays I've done in my life. It's a really world-class piece of work.
That's
and
sweet.
I was amazed and so eager to be in it and so happy and lucky to do that. She has a gift for dialogue, a really good ear to how people naturally speak and how they naturally react, and everything feels like it's just what I would say anyway. And then, of course, the pacing is really good, and the whole story is combination of tense and hard and sweet and funny, and it feels like a whole bunch of life crammed into 2 hours in a very great way.
Well, let's rotate around to the issue of the story. Closing it up, was that you got the play written and then you had to think up a title, or was that your operative concept from the beginning?
You know, it's weird when you're writing in the screenwriting program, you have to pick up a name to save it. So I always have these weird names, like my other one was Let Me Finish or Just in Case or blah, blah, blah. And so I just sort of threw it in there, and then it fit because the story is that we are three adult children. We're home. Our parents have died in a tragic parasailing accident in Mexico at 75 years old after a careful life of no drinking, smoking, or taking chances of any kind. So, and it is a comedy. Scotty is Andrew's character. He brings home Marcus, his extremely flamboyant and pretentious boyfriend, and Andrea already hates him, and they do not like each other, and so they go at it, and of course, I'm trying to keep the peace. Andrew's character's trying to just keep Marcus under just enough to make it through this weekend. So that's kind of the premise. And then we find out all kinds of deep, dark secrets that our parents were awful. Just awful, Vern.
Okay, well, let's at least get a taste of Mary Starkey and Andrew Bibbiano in their characters as these two siblings. You have a moment from
the
play?
Well, it's the three of us, and it is just a moment because here's the thing. There's very few, well, there's not whole scenes without an F-bomb or something or reference to some sort of sex something. So, and then again, it's a comedy. It's rated R. And or giving away a plot line. So this is just like when we first, Andrew's character's just getting there. Andrew and I have been home for a little while. So right.
And we're at our parents' house.
We're at a parents' house. And so he asked me,
Hey, we'll take my old room, okay?
Yeah, that's okay. I've been staying in Mom and Dad's room anyway.
Ew, you have? Why?
That is gross. Why?
What? My room got turned into a knick-knack room. It's creepy.
Creepier than sleeping in our dead parents' bedroom?
It's not like they died in there. Jeez.
Well, still, ick.
I agree, ick.
And what are you staying here for anyway? You live like 3 miles away.
I've been kind of treating it like a vacation. Don't judge.
Oh, I'm not judging. If I had Steve and the kids at home, I'd rather sleep in a dead person's bed as well.
Mom and Dad had to die in order for you to get away?
No. Well, yeah, I guess so.
There we go. A little.
That's just a little snippet.
Not nice, but we get some of the attitude of closing it up, which opens, as I mentioned, tonight. So it's imminent tonight, and it's tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the same thing next weekend. So it's
right.
These eight performances, Stage Left Theater, which is on 3rd Ave. Second Avenue. I always
It's 3rd and Brown, right?
Yeah, 3rd and Brown. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it is. They have a nice new sign that happened there, and so that's going to be on there. So that's really neat. Now the play is all together, and you're just going to do it. Does it kind of change a little over eight performances? Do you guess?
I imagine
what?
It would. We had a pretty short rehearsal process, just because we're all so busy, and because it's 8 shows in 2 weeks rather than 9 over 3 weeks, I think we'll have a better run at really getting traction. And I think it will change quite a bit. It turns out that my dialogue is very real, and it is what you'd say, but it's a little tricky to memorize, even for me. And I wrote all of it. And my mom pointed out, because I said, I'm having a hard time remembering my own lines. And she said, but think about it. You know everybody's lines. Mm-hmm. And I do, in that they're all in my head. Not that I could tell everybody what they're supposed to say next, but it is all swimming around for me. So I find that it's sometimes, you know, I'm changing things sometimes just because I like it better, which not on the fly. I mean, not always, but I'm having different versions of what I wrote thinking, you know, I'd like it to sound this way instead. And I think I may get some of that out of it by the end and do some rewriting of it, just rewording of it, I should say. But I think it'll evolve
well,
and change.
I think that happens in every show.
Yes.
And what you know, what you have to avoid, especially in a comedy, is audiences are different every night. It changes your performance every night. But what you really have to change is staying true to the intentions that were originally pretty much set. You learn, you know, oh, people think that line is funny, so you better be ready for a laugh so that you don't step on it when it comes. But at the same time, you don't want to change what you're doing up there based on one night's audience reaction. You don't want to push something because all of a sudden people think it's funny. You want to stay true to it, but it will change. I mean, you will discover new things. That's what's so wonderful about being in live theater is the discoveries that you make night after night, and it makes it so exciting and dynamic every single night.
Yeah.
And Andrew, we used to know you as a politician, and now you've very much re-entered the acting world. Is this kind of your new passion?
You know, it's a new old passion. I think it's amazing that person playing my boyfriend is Mark Pleasant, who I did my very first show with 31 years ago at the Civic,
and crazy.
Isn't that cool? You were one of the other kids with me in South Pacific. And so I became a friend there, and I looked up to him. He's a little older. I won't, you know, no, we were the same era, but he was always a couple of years older, so I always looked up to him as a big, more advanced thespian than I was. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't get a chance to do a lot for, you know, our 20s and 30s, but we're back together, and it's just great working with them. And like they said, it's just a matter of building relationships and really every night kind of falling in love again with the people in the show. Yeah. And finding what where the journey is going to take us, and working with these three, well, everybody, but it's just been a really great experience.
And that's what's wonderful about the theater community in Spokane is
we get to do things.
Mark and I were in a show back in the early 90s together. He was 17 years old, you know, and of course Penny, who's in the show as well. We did a show back in 99, you know. So you get the opportunity to meet again and do something new again. It's just wonderful. And of course it's so wonderful doing Molly's shows, and we're just so lucky that she is writing these plays for us.
They call it live
so
theater.
So Ken is lucky that she's writing these plays for us.
Thanks.
And so I think this shows just how live it is in all of these many levels of the play, the playwright, the people that get to work together, everything. Have a great run these next eight performances.
Thank you. It's directed by Heather McHenry Crutch, too.
Oh,
we're so lucky. Yeah, she's creating this whole thing.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, great.
Fantastic.
We have a great cast. Thank you, Vern, for having us.
Opening tonight and closing on the 21st at Stage Left Theater is closing it up on the 21st. Okay, thanks a lot.